Now, before we pray,
Look at passage in the Bible. Huh? Let's turn to Book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 15. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17. That Christ might dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a prayer by Apostle Paul. As we know, Paul is known as a person of prayer. And even he himself said that, I speak in tongue more than all of you. Also, Paul is a person who emphasized so much about prayer, especially praying in Holy Spirit. Also, then here, this is a prayer that he offered to God for the sake of members. Now today, when we come and we pray, we kneel down, a lot of times, we really don't know how to pray. We might think, yeah, I know how to pray. I've been taught how to pray since I was young. You come to the front, you kneel down, you close your eyes, hold your hands so that you can concentrate. You know, you hear this hundreds of times. Since SSC until today, you hear so many times of, I know how to pray, okay? Yes, maybe in terms of the format, maybe in terms of the procedure. Procedure-wise, yes, you do know. You do know that you come here, you kneel down, you close your eyes, you hold your hand, and then you say hallelujah, right? That's how you do it. But do we really know how to pray? Because a lot of times, yes, outside, in the outer form, our body, physical gesture, in the outer form, we did perfectly. We did perfectly. But a lot of times, our inner being is totally out of the place. Our body knows how to pray in terms of the form, but inside, our inner man, the true self, had no idea. What is the meaning of prayer? What to pray for? Why am I praying? What is the goal? What is the target? What is the purpose? Why am I kneeling here? Also, think here, Paul demonstrates. He demonstrates an example of prayer and hope. Hopefully. If you later come to the front, you kneel down, you have no idea what to pray for. Your mind goes totally blank. You just kneel there and waiting as a physical training for your kneecap. And you're like, I can do this. Oh, you time yourself. Yesterday, I collapsed after 10 minutes. Today, I will do 12. You know what? This is not a physical training, and it's not what you do in the gym, like weightlifting, kneecap lifting. You don't do that. That's not the purpose of your prayer. It's not a training for your endurance. It's not. At least it's not the most important reason that you should focus upon. Okay? So then here, Paul kneeled down. And here says that he said, I kneel before my Lord. So he was offered a very serious and very sincere prayer. And then we shall look at the content of his prayer. Perhaps we shall also pray for ourselves toward the same goal. And I think here he was praying for the members. He was praying for the members in the church of Ephesus. Huh? He was praying and he hoped in his prayer, he prayed to the Lord, Lord, this is what I wish, that every member in the church of Ephesus could be alike. Also, from his mind, there are things that he prayed for the members that he deemed very crucial, very important. And so today, We should look at this prayer and see what is important for us. Now just imagine that if you were the members in the church of Ephesus, now Paul is praying and he wishes you can be like this. You know what? Then you have a direction. You have to pray in the same way for yourself. I hope, Lord, help me, I can be like this as the expectation of Apostle Paul. So what is this? What is the expectation of Apostle Paul? What is the goal? What is the direction that we should strive to become alike in our prayer? Let's take a look. Huh? So in here, there are four things. There are four things that Paul prayed for, and there are four things that we need to pray for ourselves as well. What is the first one? In here say, I pray that they can be strengthened with the mind through his spirit in the inner man. Huh? In here, the Bible used the term inner man. Inner man. What is inner man? Inner man is the true you. 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 You know what? Yes, you have this physical body. You think that this is you. You think this is you. But no, no. Paul said there is another you, a real you inside. That's called the inner person. It's your thought, it's your emotion, it's your belief, it's it's you, the true you that's inside. Oh. You know what? Outside this form is more like a house, more like a case that you put your real you inside. So you know what? Paul said that there is a real true you in you. Aside from this body, there's a true you living in there. Have you seen? Have you realized that the true you is in there, and the true you might be very weak, shabby, starving to death, while your outside you is eating lavishly and getting bigger and bigger. You know, outside you adorned beautifully, makeup left and right. Ah. Every day, spend 2 hours. Oh, curl hair, draw fake everything. Oh. You know what? Again, in here, we are not here to judge whether you like to put up makeup. That's your business. That's just like guys. Don't laugh at them. You spend all this time like trying to be beefy. You know, you do like weightlifting. Like, oh, I'm bulky. I'm the man. Come on. You know what? Because we care about it. We care so much about our either physical look or our physical health, which nothing wrong with it. Totally nothing wrong with it. But the problem is, as we focus so much about this form, about this face, about this body, we focus so much about it, but we spend so little effort or so little attention to the real you inside. Outside you, eating big and fat. Inside you, starving, about to die. You have no idea. Have no idea. Outside you, exercise, very healthy. Inside you, always sick, crippled, unable to walk. Have you seen that? Also, the first thing that Paul said, we need to pray. What do we need to pray for later? When you come, you kneel down. You look deep inside. Did you see the real you in there? Who has not been satisfied with the words of God? Who has not been well taken care of by the blessing of God? Who are so weak and far away from reaching to the greater blessing in heaven? Who are starving, thirsting, tired, and weak? And something here, Paul said that, you know what? We all need to look inside of the true self and then realize we need to pray about ourselves. Feed yourself with the words of God. Feed yourself through prayer, like having the spiritual water quenching your thirst for your inner man, so that your inner man can be strong. Be strong. You know what? That's why sometimes you see some members. You will find members. There are some members who get older and older. Yeah, their physical form gets weaker, more wrinkles. But you know what? As the older they get, the more beautiful they become. Did you know those people? There are some elderly members who devote so much in their spiritual cultivation. So even maybe outside in their face, in their continent, there's nothing they can compete with the younger people. But when you sit next to them, when you talk to them, you feel that you are like surrounded and immersed by wonderful, wonderful harmony. Why? Because they are beautiful. They are not beautiful outside, but they are totally beautiful inside. Because the outside man weak, but the inside man stronger than ever. That's what happened to Moses. That's what happened to many saints in the Bible. The older they get, the stronger they become. That's what the Bible talks about when they mention Abraham. It says the older he gets, the stronger his faith becomes. And the more beautiful he becomes. So the first thing that we need to pray for is, Lord, inside, let my inner man be strong. That the inner man can emit the internal power that I can overcome temptations, that I can live a different life, that I can strive for a different goal, and I can live a different life. Pursue for something more glorious. But if inside man is very weak, you all know, one resolution after another. Every new year, you have been making so many resolutions. Oh, I will read Bible once. Next year, I will read Bible once. Oh, you know what? We make new resolutions year by year. But because the inner man is so weak. So dream always remain as a dream. Dream become nothing but a daydreaming. But when the inner man is strong, there's a calling inside, through prayer, many prayer, inside, burning with fire. You know, how do you know that you are burned with fire? It's very simple, very simple. When you walk around the chapel, you see there are some, maybe a piece of trash on the floor, piece of paper on the floor. You walk by, you couldn't. You have to take a few steps back. You walk away and say, hey, you know what? It's not my team to clean the chapel. You can't. There's a power inside of you keep on dragging you back and say, I saw it, I need to deal with it. Then you know what? You are filled. Inside man is very strong. When you go buy something, you buy some groceries, and you know what? Grocery costs $5. You gave $10, and the cashier gave you $15 back. And then you know what? What's your reaction? If you are saying, thank God! Extra blessing, money from above. Inside, dying, about to die. But if you took it, you walk away, you are counting, and you're like, oh, this is wrong. But I could use the money. But I can't. This is not mine. You know, yes, maybe you struggle a little bit, but there's a voice tell you inside of your heart. There's a voice tell you that it's not yours. And then you took the trouble, you went back, and you say, hey, this is not mine. You know what? Inside man very strong. Not that you cannot sing. Inside man strong means that you don't need to sing. No need. Also, the first thing that we need to pray for is, Lord, allow inside. Fill it with nutrient. Fill it with water of Holy Spirit. Fill it so that it can grow strong and big, ready for the battle, defeat the enemies, living a different life. That's what we shall pray the first. Second, let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 3, huh? Second, in here says that, in verse 17, huh? Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. The second thing that we need to pray for is, we pray to the Lord so that the Lord can come and dwell inside of us. That's the second thing that we pray for. Yeah, I believe you'll do that, right? Oh, Lord, please come into my life. Oh, Lord, please abide with me. Lord, please help me with the final next week. You know what? You pray about this. Oh, Lord, in my life, come on, come in. But there is a condition. If you want the Lord to live, to enter into your life and live in your heart, there is a condition. And in here say, through your faith. Through your faith. But what does it mean by through your faith? It's so abstract. You know, sometimes we feel that if I kneel there, I pray and say, Lord, I open my heart, and you are having this picture, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da, open the gate, come in. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. It doesn't work like that. So you know what? You can imagine all you want, how you like, you know, cut this part off, open your chest, and Jesus come inside. You sealed it and keep it inside forever. You can imagine all you want. That's not how you bring Jesus into your life. And here says, how do you bring him into your life? No other way but through faith. But what does it mean by through faith? Through faith means that you need to trust him. But again, what does it mean by trust him? You know what? Every single term that we always use, the typical correct Christian terms that we use, we hardly ever think what it means. Oh, have faith in God. What does it mean? Pray sincerely. What does it mean? Loving God, amen. What does it mean? You know what? A lot of times we think we know, but we really don't know. So now in here it says that you have to bring Jesus Christ into your life only through faith. But what is faith? Faith is trust. But what is trust? Trust means you hand over the control of your life into his hand. Like on a boat. Now, when you want to invite Jesus into your boat, the only way you can do is, Lord, you can be the captain. That's the only way you can do it. You cannot say, hey, Lord, no, come on, just be a guest. Then you know what? He'll just stand by the side and look how you control your life. When you want Jesus into your life, he needs to be the master instead of bystander. That's why so many Christians, though they believe in Jesus, they feel that, hey, I believe in God. God should be in my life, right? Wrong. Why? Because though that you verbally say, please come in, but you never open the door. Though that you say, Lord, please come into my life, but you never yield, giving in the control of your life. You still want to be your own boss. You still want to control the direction, the future into your own hands. So you say, Lord, you can come, but you can only sit there and see how I run my life. And you know what? You get what you wish. When you are the boss, you know the Lord will allow you to be the boss of your life. Yes, he will. But when you are in control of your own life, remember one thing. You make decision, you pay for the price. You make decision, you suffer the consequences. That's how it is. Because, hey, though that you are a Christian, but you never ask God to be in control. There was a youth who called me. And he said, Pastor, I need to talk to you about my marriage. I said, sure. And he told me that, you know what, I know this sister, and we have been talking, and we have been praying, and I think she is the right one for me. Do you think this is God's will? And I was very mean because I told him no right away. The reason I told him no is I told him that, hey, I don't know the sister. I don't know the sister. I don't know you that well either. But since you called me, I said, it doesn't really bother me who you want to marry because it's your call, it's your decision. What bothers me is you are trying to convince your parents that this is the will of God because I pray about it. Then I asked him, do you know the sister from the past? He said, yes. Have you been hanging out? Have you been, you know, keeping contact for all this time? And he said, yes. And I said, so what were you praying about? If you make decision already, because I asked him that, so you want to marry her? And he said, for sure. I said, then what are you waiting for? He said, I need to pray for God's will. I was like, but you decided already. Why are you still praying? You know, he made the final decision. I said, are you going to marry her? He said, I will marry her. But I need to pray for God's will. I was like, I don't get it. But you know what? Many of the young generation, they take this prayer. That's why I told him, don't bother. Don't pray. Just marry her. Just marry. I said, you want to marry whoever you want to. Just don't bother. Don't bother calling me. Don't call me. You know what? In the future, the same for you, huh? If you have decided who you want to marry already, don't call me and ask if it's just God's will. Because you decided already. You decided. And don't bother. Oh, you know what? We are going to marry and we have this engagement all planned out. But you know what? I need to fast for 1 month to see if it's God's will. Don't bother. The Lord will not answer you. From the book of Ezekiel, the Lord said, if you have invite false God into your heart already, don't call me. I won't answer you. So you know what? When you decide, I am the boss of my life. I am the captain of my boat. Jesus, you can come in, but you can only stand there and watch me run my life. You know what? You make decision. You pay for the consequence. That's not faith. And Jesus is not there in your life because you never allow him to come in. Because you can only have him in through faith. So faith is not something very abstract. Faith is, I submit whatever the decision that you planted in my life. Know that I might not like it. You have to understand, many times you know what is right, what is wrong. Many times you know exactly what God wants you to do, but it might not be in your favor. It might not be something that you like. And that's when marks the differences of whether you are your own boss or you submit before the Lord. Say, you know what? I don't like this decision of yours, but I submit because you are the Lord in my life. That's how you should do it. You know what? So if you are in charge, fine. You bear the consequence. But today, if you, before you make decision, you kneel down, you pray, you say, Lord, I really don't know what is better for me. I have my own preference, and this is my preference. You can tell God, no problem. Tell God, this is what I think is the best, but I really don't know, and I cannot go on without you holding my hand and guide my steps. You know what? When you entrust in God and you pray diligently, you say, you know what? Whatever the outcome is, I surrender. I will honor whatever you want me to do, and I will accept whatever the outcome is. You know what? When you entrust the decision into the Lord's hand, the Lord will be in charge and be responsible for your life. That's how it works. That's called by faith. When you say by faith, it's not just nearly, Lord, 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 no. When you say by faith, it's every time anything happens in your life that you need to make critical decisions, when you need to make decision of your life, you kneel down and you say, whatever the outcome is, I accept. Because you are the Lord of my life. That's called faith. Faith is a solid action, that you practice to demonstrate before the Lord. So now we're going to pray. Two things that we mentioned today. Hopefully we can really put in our heart, in our prayer. Inside, is it strong or is it still very weak? Feed him, feed her. Satisfy, nourish, so that inside is strong and ready to fight for the Lord. Submit, humility, bow down before the Lord, because that's the only way that you can have him in your heart and in your life. Okay? Life is yours. Decision is yours. Future is yours. And consequence is also yours. So it's your call. Let's come to the front.